This week on football, Arsenal fan eats roast potato weird. Enzo kicks chewing gum at a United fan. Vicario gives it big licks. Tony Bellew finds out the Everton result. And Joey Barton is not holding back.
Bianca, can I just ask you a question? And I respect your opinion massively. I respect your opinion massively. Do you think the women's game and the men's game is the same game? Father time, speaking wisdom into my mind. Tell me stories of all that are great. Cherish these days before it's too late.
Welcome to this episode of Goalpost for Jumpers. Thanks for joining me again. I am proud to announce this week, Goalpost TV have partnered up with Hazza Toys. And Hazza Toys is proud to introduce you to these new little dumbbells. These small plushies are perfect for your little one's playtime. Designed in Bristol and crafted with love. Get your little one's tiny hands on these soft sensory plushies for a one-time offer. Right now, head to Amazon, search Hazza Toys, that's Hazza Toys, two Zs and toys with a Z, and you'll get a one-time discounted price of just $11.99. Hazza Toys builds with care, not just love. This sturdy stitching helps with endless cuddles and sensory development. Multiple colours, tons of fun. Get your Christmas gift sorted now with Hazza Toys. Dude, these are sick. Yeah, they're really cool. I've not seen anything like these. So go get your hands on them. If you're a fan of the gym, if you want your kids to be a fan of the gym, then these little plushies, yeah, they're banging. Go get on them. They do this little rattle thing. So for sensory development, apparently that's great for kids as well. Super great reviews already for Hazza Toys. So please get on that. Go ahead, search Hazza Toys on Amazon and you will get them for a discounted price of just $11.99. Right, let's actually get this show underway with, well, what else are we going to talk about other than Joey Barton's tirade against women in football? Now, I am not going to condemn Joey Barton because there's part of what he says, like with anything, that's slightly true. But as always with people like this, they go hell for leather, they say the most outrageous thing, and then the element of truth just gets lost in it. I'm sure probably anyone listening, if you haven't seen it or if you have seen it, you'll probably be discussing it with your mates and everyone will have pretty strong opinions. What has surprised me the most about this is how many people secretly, deep down, actually agree with him. Okay, if you haven't seen it or you haven't heard what he's been saying, he took to Twitter and was basically saying that women don't belong in football at the highest level. He's talking about female pundits. He talked about females in football and he initially went for some presenters and some reporters. Bianca Westwood was one of them. Laura Woods got into a conversation with him. And then most recently, Alex Scott and a few others. The part that's true that Joey talks about is women's football is not on the same level as men's. Fair enough. I think everyone pretty much agrees with that. The people that don't are deluded. Men's football at the highest level is a completely different sport almost. We're looking at a human being who is a male and a human being that is a female, and they are almost two different species when it comes to top level sport because your biology is different. So we can accept that. What I think Joey has moved over to, which we didn't want to see, or most people don't want to see, is he's almost saying that they don't have a place. They do have a place. Women presenters, and I'll give you examples of probably my favorite presenters of Laura Woods and Kate Abdo. And I actually think Kelly Cates on Sky does a really good job as well. I don't care whether it's a female. I don't care whether it's a male. I don't care what they look like. But as long as you can not disrupt the flow of conversation, ask the right questions, don't push your opinion on the people who are the so-called experts, then you as a presenter deserve a job in football. What Joey's going for is tokenism. And that is something I can kind of agree with, because you start to see Jill Scott everywhere. Jill Scott, if we're honest, doesn't belong anywhere near in the realms. She's doing the overlap with Gary Neville, Roy Keane, Jamie Carragher and Ian Wright. Now, granted, she's won something for England ladies, but then we look on the other side, England ladies are probably at the same level as semi-pro footballers if you're men. And look, you can have your own opinion on that, but I'm pretty sure if you played someone at the level of Havant and Waterlooville, they'd beat the England women's national side. That's not really an opinion. I think that's fact, because we've seen a lot of evidence to suggest that just by looking at the under-15s men's teams, I say men's boys, beating the national team of women's. And we looked at Wrexham earlier in the year, a Wrexham legends team. And I say legends, there was like Lee Trundle in there, battered the US women's team like 8-0 in a 7-a-side game. They're not comparable. But there should be a space for women in sport. Why would we not want women going to the football? They're not invading that space. If women want to go to football, that's fine. I think what Joey is hitting on and what a lot of people are responding to is we feel like it's being forced down our throats. You don't get a panel without a female pundit anymore. And that is something that people get frustrated by, because it's not hitting the right demographic. It's like in FIFA. FIFA started adding female players. Where's the market for that? And if their argument as a business is to say that they want to appeal to that demographic, women don't, in general, play games and Xbox and PlayStation. They have other interests. And that's okay. We can have different interests. I've got interests that are going to be different from the next person. I've got opinions that are going to be different from the next person. We want to include everyone's opinions. We want to include everyone's interests. But why infringe on an area that doesn't need to be infringed on? We don't need the female footballers on FIFA. Or if you are going to put them in a separate game, sell it to females, sell it to males, or sell it to everyone and see who actually makes a profit. We saw at the start of the season, Karen Carney go on Monday Night Football, and that was absolute torture. I don't mind Karen Carney going on anything, whatever. She's done a lot in the game for women's football. Is she at that level that most of the ex-pros are? No, of course not. But it doesn't mean that I don't want to hear what she's got to say. In the same way that you might listen to me, I've never played football at that level. Does that mean I don't have an opinion? Does that mean that my opinion isn't valid? Does that mean that every fan's opinion isn't valid? I don't think so. Women's football isn't there yet. That's fine. We want to build it. I remember when I used to watch the England women's team and support them. And the more you see everyone come out and say, you know, they deserve to be paid more. What? More than what? A fireman? More than what? You're basing your opinion off the men's game. The men's game brings in business, therefore they are paid more. Your skill matches that. If you can provide a market in women's football that brings in advertising revenue and marketing revenue at that level, then yeah, of course you deserve to be paid, but you don't. So that is a really frustrating point that people can't get to grips with. What Joey Barton has said is he doesn't believe that women belong in football, and he said it in a really, really clinical, kind of harsh, cold-hearted way, which I don't agree with, but there are elements that I think everyone agrees with. Whether they want to say it or not, there are elements that everyone agrees with. I don't particularly like Joey Barton. I don't agree with the fact that women can't be on television talking about football. I think that is a mad thing to say, but I also don't want it shoved down my throat. I don't think that's unfair to say, and I think most men will probably agree with that. There is nothing wrong with having a space for men, in the same way there's nothing wrong having a space for women. This blurring of boundaries is where we start looking at things where we can't even figure out, well, what's right, what's wrong, what can I say, what can't I say. you've got to give people their own spaces. Men deserve space for them. Women deserve space for women. And invading that, just I just think is so wrong. And we're seeing a lot of that lately. Joey Barton's probably going on that side. He's had enough. I wonder what triggered this for Joey Barton though. Why has he all of a sudden come out and started saying this? He got sacked in October. He's not had a job since. I wonder, did he go for a job in football and maybe get turned down? Maybe he was working towards a pundit role and didn't get it and then saw a lot of women and then that's what's turned him? Because he hasn't said anything about this prior to this, as far as I know, and then all of a sudden he's on this tirade. Don't know. But I don't think it's a shocking enough thing to say that we can't have the conversation about it. I think we do need the conversation because a lot of men actually do feel frustrated about this. Whether you want to hear that or not, that's the truth. Okay, right. Okay, coming up in this week's show, we are going to be talking Two Lies and a Truth. We are going to be doing TikTok submissions. We are going to go around Europe and talk all things European football as well. Let's start this week with Team of the Week, though. My Team of the Week, where I only pick players that I have seen play. I'm not going to pick anyone that I've just seen from Match of the Day like Garth Crooks. I'm actually going to pick players that I've seen play and I can analyse. So starting off in goal, I have got Vicario. Right back, I've got Andrea Cambiasso. At centre back, I've got Diego Carlos. Alongside him, I've got Federico Gatti. Left back is Destiny Adogi. John McGinn in central midfield. Abdoulaye Doucouré in central midfield. And the midfield three finishes with Adrian Rabiot. On the right wing, I've got Dwight McNeil. On the left wing, I've got Son. And striker, I've got Bruno Fornaroli. Okay, let's go very briefly through all of those. Vicario had Wilson on strings. Loved what he did. I don't care whether you're a Newcastle fan or you're a Spurs fan. I think given a little bit of banter on the pitch, there's nothing wrong with it. Wilson's more than happy to talk. And I don't think there's anything wrong with what Wilson and Antonio was saying about Richarlison, by the way. I think, you know, all's fair. But he's got a lot of stick, Vicario, but I actually quite enjoyed it. I thought it was quite good. Andrea Cambiasso, one to watch. Really solid performance once again. He's almost like a right wing-back role, more of a right midfielder, but playing that right wing-back role. Really effective in that role, really disciplined. Juve keep churning out these clean sheets and he got an assist, lovely ball for the goal that won Juve the game as well. Diego Carlos, solid as a rock. Brilliant, brilliant player, brilliant performance this week as well. Look, we saw Diego Carlos move and we thought, look, big money move. Him and Pau Torres, these players from Spain, can they work their way into English football? Can they adapt? And it's showing that they can. The discipline that that back line for Villa shows every game, the offside trap that they are playing, which is nuts. Look at the stats, the amount of offsides they catch. They're so disciplined. They are so strong mentally to keep that up for 90 minutes. It's so impressive. Diego Carlos against Arsenal, absolutely magnificent. Federico Gatti. Back-to-back winners for Gatti for Juve. Juve are pushing for a title. They're pushing into close. And Gatti has just got the winner this weekend. And he got it last week as well, the centre-back. So I had to get him in there. Clean sheet and a winner. Left-back, Destiny Adogi. I'm not sure where he plays. Left-back, right? Well, why is he up front? And why is he scoring? And why is he scoring like a striker? I don't know. But brilliant performance for him once again. I think he's been the left back of the season. John McGinn, winner, solid player. He scored the goal, obviously, that beat Arsenal. All-round top performance, top midfield display defensively, box to box. John McGinn, really underrated player. Abdoulaye Doucouré, back-to-back goals for Doucouré. And Everton are looking like what? Maybe they could push for top six if they keep this up. I mean, 10-point deduction aside, they're better than Chelsea. And Doucouré's been a big part of that. Scored last week, scored again this week. Back-to-back goals for him. Had to be in there. Adrian Rabiot, really effective in both boxes. There's a theme here for my midfield. And Adrian Rabiot, the last few games that I've seen him play, particularly this week, really, really, really... almost like one of those players that you think, oh, I don't think I want him. He nearly came to Man United. I don't think I want him. But when you see him in that Juve side, a discipline side, a team with an identity, I quite like him. Got a lot of goals last season. Not really hit the same amount of goals this season, but he's super effective. those clean sheets that Juve keep churning out will be the reason why they can push into so close, and he's a big part of that defensively. Right wing, I had to fit Dwight McNeil in, so I've put him right wing, even though he's been playing left midfield. He scored a fantastic goal a couple of weeks ago, and then a great finish against Newcastle. And that was the goal. I mean, look, obviously, Everton ended up winning the game comfortably, it looked. But capitalising on that mistake from Kieran Trippier and clinical in the box, got a lovely left foot, Dwight McNeil. So I thought I had to put him in there. Son, last week he was in there. He's in again this week. He maybe played more of a left wing role. I really like him up top, but I really like him left wing. I prefer him there, really, if I'm honest. Got two assists, got the goal, scored the penalty, won the penalty as well. But one of the players of the season so far, Son, and just looks like an all-round great guy, great person to have in your team, and a great captain. Really good performance from Tottenham, and a really good performance by Son as well. And striker, many of you might not have heard of him. If you watched the A-League, you would have. It's 36-year-old Bruno Fornaroli. I had to put him in there because he has just scored his second four-goal haul in one match of the season. So he scored four again. He scored four about 3-4 weeks ago, and then he just popped up and scored four again to win the game for Melbourne Victory over Western Sydney Wanderers. He scored four, and Western Sydney scored three. So therefore, Fornaroli is out there winning matches by himself and having to score all four goals. 37 years old, 11 goals, 7 games. Fantastic from Fornaroli. And yeah, he's a big fan favourite over there. He's played in the A-League for quite a while. But if you don't watch the A-League, please get... Just if you get the chance, just switch it on. It is such great fun. If you like a gamble, lump on corners every game. There's like 10 to 20 corners every game. There's always cards and goals. It's a great league to watch. Right, okay, let's do two lies and a truth. The two lies and a truth feature is where I make up three stories. Well, two stories, and one of them is actually true. It's crazy. It's in the world of football. You have to guess which one. This week, the feature is based off names. These are some crazy names in football. Story number one. A player called Johnny Mustache once played an international game for the Seychelles. Story number two. A player called Florian Seamonkey was capped for France under-19s. Or is it story number three? Djibouti national team had a goalkeeper back in 1996 named Colin Anteater. Three stories, three names. Which one is real? I'll tell you at the end of the show. I'm going to sneeze. Ruined it. Right, okay, let's do some TikTok submissions. This is the part of the show where you get involved, you send me some TikToks and I react to them. Mostly animals, very rarely anything to do with football. Let's go. By the way, if you want to be a TikTok submitter, get involved, let us know. I need a new one. I keep getting anti-Man United stuff that I have to cut out of the show. That's mean. I'm going to pause this video. And if you're watching along with me, at what point do you run? Because I have seen like 6 videos submitted during this TikTok submissions feature we've done since the start of the season, where people stand there and just film and watch death come towards them. I'm looking at this, right? This avalanche coming down the hill. I'm gone. I'm gone. I see white. If I see white go like this, I'm gone. Gone. Okay, I mean, definitely move now, right? Okay. Definitely move now, right? Now, it's at this point, this man filming is starting to move. I hope he gets buried in snow.
Oh, God. Oh, dear God.
Congratulations, you're a snowman.
Gemma, keeper. Sophie, keeper. Rosie, centre court. Joy, centre. Wing attack. Centre. What's your name?
Are you?
Enough.
De Bruyne. Oh. Here's Kevin De Bruyne. Oh. De Bruyne. Oh, back off. In about 25 meters, Baba Baraya. دقيقة الثالثة من انطلاقة المباراة. Oh, Baba. Space. Kevin De Bruyne. De Bruyne. Oh. De Bruyne! Oh! Oh, that's Kevin! Ramsey De Bruyne! Here's De Bruyne, trying to add to his screen!
Guys, this video is another minute long, and De Bruyne has hit the post or the bar like 15 times already. I didn't realise he hit the post or the bar so many times. I actually think hitting the post or the bar means that you're probably a pretty accurate striker of the ball. You're aiming for the corner, right? I used to play football with a guy who would celebrate hitting the bar more than if he scored. Like, he would actively try and hit the bar all the time and celebrate it. You know who you are. There's no way he listens to this.
Michael, you made a long trip down. What do you think the score's going to be today?
It's going to be 1-0. Will Grigg up the ticks. Come on!
Where is this kid now? I remember saying, 1-0. Will Grigg up the ticks. Come on. For, like, 3 years of my life. Where is he now? Didn't he call this game? Didn't he actually get the score right when he said 1-0, Will Grigg up the ticks, come on? And the ticks were up, and Will Grigg did score, and they won 1-0.
Just a quick little interview. We tend to keep things pretty informal around here, but obviously I do have to ask you some questions. So why don't you talk to me a little bit about the challenges you faced in a previous role?
You know, everything was a challenge. I'd eat an apple in the, you know, watching the TV at night, right, and the bin would be by the TV, you know, 6 metres away or whatever it was.
6 metres away? What's that, like 20 feet?
And, well, I would just do it. I had the bravery to miss and for there to be a stain on the wallpaper and my mum to absolutely scream at me and send me upstairs. I wasn't cocky at all.
Oh, Jesus, no, sorry, I wasn't.
But the next day I'd do the same and I'd be bump and it'd go right in the middle. My dad would give me a nod of approval and my mum would be seething but couldn't say anything because it went in. And that confidence, that sort of daring, that nod of approval that I don't want to get bollocked by my mum here, but God, I'm desperate for a nod of it, like a little wink to say from my dad to bloody hell, you cocky little, you know.
Well, I don't normally do this.
Anyone listening probably doesn't see the context of this, but it is actually really Michael Owen talking, and it's not a parody. Michael Owen came out in an interview recently and said that he was brave and he showed bravery because he used to try and chuck apples in the bin and risked his mum shouting at him. A real human being, Michael Owen is. He's a real person.
3, 2, 1. I'm gone. I've legged it. I'm gone. You've been legged.
Darwin Núñez is nuts. I got a lot of stick for talking about Darwin Núñez because I happened to be wearing a Man United shirt at the time and talking about him and everyone. Do you know what? It frustrates me because just because you're a fan of another team doesn't mean you can't talk about another player. And that was the thing that I was getting a lot. Like, obviously, hundreds of comments coming in because I was wearing a Man United top talking about Darwin Núñez and saying, oh, you've got Martial. And yeah, I know we've got Martial, he's shit. I wasn't saying Darwin Núñez is shit, is I can't work out whether he's amazing or awful because he's a bit of both. But there's something there with the player. He's just a mad head, and he just perfectly suits Liverpool because, I mean, they absolutely love him. Hate his new hair, though. Can't stand it. Some players score great goals and completely ruin them by celebrating after. That Harvey Elliott goal, if you haven't seen it and you're listening, he scored the winner late on and then celebrated with some sort of thing. And I hate it. Why has he done that? He's ruined his goal. It's so cringe. I don't like it. And do you know what? Sean Dyche came out after Lewis Dobbin scored against Chelsea on the weekend and said, you know, he didn't go and celebrate none of that, you know, dancing and stupid stuff for the cameras. He went and just celebrated, enjoyed the moment, enjoyed the goal, didn't think of his social media presence or anything like that. And that, I kind of agree, because I'm going to sneeze. Ruined my point. But I kind of agree with Sean. Is there something in here that I'm allergic to? I kind of agree with Sean Dyche, because I do hate those celebrations. I hated it when Lingard used to dance. I hate when Pogba used to dance. But then Lewis Dobbin scored and just did a classic knee slide. You see Scott McTominay, classic knee slide. And then Harvey Elliott rocks up with this dumbass. Like, maybe it means something to him and, you know, give him credit. Fair enough. Really solid player, Harvey Elliott. Looks like he's, you know, maturing into a top player. But don't do that celebration. You ruined your goal.
Oh, Endrick is the special one, and he really is something special. But Endrick, he's a stocky, left-footed striker.
You know when you see a player and you just instantly think, wow, Endrick is that player. And I'm watching him just like little bits of highlights. And I remember watching Neymar and a lot of highlights, and he was getting a lot of kind of, you know, praise for playing at Santos for such a young age, playing for Santos and getting all these highlight reels, and it was coming across on YouTube. And do you know what? That reminds me, Joey Barton, master of all, knows ball better than everyone else. I remember he used to call Neymar a YouTube footballer. Said he was awful, said he wasn't all that, and he was a YouTube footballer. There you go, Joey. How's that for knowledge? Neymar, one of the greatest talents we've ever seen come out of Brazil. But Endrick, when I see Endrick play and I see these highlights, this player is going right to the top. And I don't mean just like he's going to be a good striker in Serie A or the Premier League. He might get a couple of goals. He might be Ronaldo regen, R9 regen. He's got the physicality, he's got the pace, he's got the trickery, the touch, the finish, the composure. He's confident. Barring any injuries, Endrick goes right to the very top. And I'll put my reputation on the line after watching some of the stuff that he's been pulling off. Unbelievable.
Dortmund earlier that same week.
Certainly enjoying himself. Jordan Pickford.
Pickford gets a lot of stick, but I think he's a really, really good goalkeeper. I like that he's got a personality. And when it comes to these tough moments, he does stand up tall. He very rarely lets England down. In fact, he never lets England down. He performs on the biggest stages. Yes, there's a mistake in him. There's a mistake in every goalkeeper. Just remember that. Every goalkeeper, even Alisson, your beloved Alisson, makes mistakes. But Jordan Pickford's attitude, I don't see anything wrong with it. Callum Wilson was, again, going in on Pickford for, you know, his antics. I don't mind it. I hate it when it's against you. Of course you're going to hate it. You know, if he starts doing that and rolling around against Man United, I'm going to be fuming. But don't you wish your goalkeeper would do that? There's something it adds to it. It's almost like it's the goalkeeper's version, and it's far away, but it's the goalkeeper's version of like doing kick-ups with the ball, doing skills, and as an outfield player. They can't do much, but they can wind up the opposition. They can get in their heads like Vicario did. As long as you don't make a mistake, you know, 5 minutes later, there's no harm in it. And I think Pickford's attitude, I think even Ramsdale, when you look at someone like Aaron Ramsdale, I don't think he's got the abilities of these top-level goalkeepers, but I think why he's made it to where he is his attitude and his confidence. There's a slight worry that he might start losing that as a result of being at Arsenal and becoming number two. His confidence is not, but if he keeps that mentality, that's what's keeping him up there, because I don't think he's as good as Pickford. I don't think he's as good as a lot of these top-level goalkeepers, but his mentality is elite, and I like that. Nothing wrong with Pickford doing this. Nothing wrong with Vicario giving it a little bit to Callum Wilson. You know, if a striker's going to celebrate in front of you and wind the crowd up, why can't a goalkeeper do it to the opposition team?
I always had a favourite wherever I went. At Middlesbrough, it was Dick Steele. And I always had one favourite. And, I'd get my chewing gum out and say, do you want a piece of chewing gum? To the to my favourite, whoever it was. And with Brownie, I used to, with it raining, and when I'd get them all in to talk to him, I'd have the brolly up and I'd say, Michael, come under here. And talk to the rest of them, you know. But he, you know, he ended up going to Tottenham, having a great career. And I'd like to think that helped him out. Are you with me?
Yeah.
But I've had some cracking. That's why I've got promotions, because I've had some cracking lads, and people like Morgan. They looked after my back.
Are you supposed to have favourites as a manager?
Oh, the lads all knew. You know. I mean, I used to say to certain lads, you know, I don't like you. Don't you know, I don't like you. So that became a bit of a, you know, and the lads would say, you know, we're over here. Don't go next to him. You don't like him. Gaffer don't like him, you know. So it's part how I am, really. How I deal with it. Because you're together 10 months. Mm. You've got to have laughs.
Neil Warnock, legend of the game. And he's right, you know, like, he's got promotions. You know, when you achieve something and you give these little stories and you say these little quirky things that you do that people will judge you for. If you've got the credentials and you've done what you've done, people can't argue with it.
The Great Bastards are a bigger cause for concern. Weighing in at 20 kilos, these relatives of the crane are among the heaviest birds able to fly on Earth.
First of all, the name. There's a bird called the Great Bastard? Or is this like a sketch? Second of all, why do they sound northern? They sound like it's something off Royal Family.
Not doing anybody's tea tonight.
Hello, I'm watching BBC News. I'm Gareth Barlow. You're watching BBC News. We're starting off...
Danny Shaw, who joins us now. Good evening, Daddy.
Back in BBC Breakfast from 6:25. Good boy.
That's it from me. I hope you have a lovely afternoon, whatever you're up to. Goodbye.
He's looking to reform the way the press operates, not just in the UK, but elsewhere in the world as well. He wants to make a difference, doesn't he? That's his agenda.
Absolutely.
Happy New Year from Carol in Shrewsbury. Wouldn't it be lovely to hear Putin say this?
When you are ready, I will surrender. Take me and do as you will.
For a few lively showers. That's your forecast, Nick.
Oh dear, the Harry Styles fans are going to get wet. Where's today? I'll be back up.
Around the world and across the UK, this is BBC News.
Okay.
This reminds me, I once worked on a radio station and my first news headline broadcast, I was really nervous for. I did it and the presenters, I finished it, didn't make a mistake, finished it. And the presenter turned to me and said, how was that? And I went, fucking terrifying. And he went, and I was like, but luckily, I don't know whether it drowned out. I never listened to it back and no one ever complained. That was my first ever radio performance. and I said fucking terrifying on it.
Amazon Home Finds. If your partner sleeps cold but you sleep hot, then this duvet is split down the middle and has a hot and cold side so you can cuddle at night. This is an at-home McMuffin maker. It comes with everything you need and means you can make a McMuffin even if you live miles away from McDonald's.
That's sick. I'm buying one. That's class.
This is the world's first reusable notebook. Just write like normal, then scan the page to upload it to Google Docs and wipe to reuse again.
That's also class. I want that. Anyone listening who's going to potentially buy me a Christmas present, here's your list.
Suitcase has a built-in motor and uses AI to follow you so you don't have to carry.
I want that as well. These are sick.
This human dog bed is the best way to take a nap or watch TV.
Buy me all of these things.
Those annoying lights that keep you up at night. This smart bin automatically seals the bag, and when you lift it out, it lines itself with a new one. This is a bed tent, and it's the perfect way to get more privacy or make date night more cozy.
I want a bed tent! Buy me a bed tent. Anyone listening? Buy me one. I want that. I want that now.
Spins them around to get them clean. This is a time-locking safe container. It locks away anything you're addicted to for up to 10 days. This is a wearable sleeping bag, and it's great for staying warm whilst doing your daily tasks. This is a remote retriever. Just stick this to your remote, this to your TV, and when you press it, it calls the remote so you can find it. These are NFC tags, and you can program them to share your Wi-Fi code with just a tap. This rotating drum grater makes it easy to slice and grate cheese.
Last couple of weeks, we've had some home finds. This guy does Amazon home finds. We had bean smoothies. We had, that's baked bean smoothies. We had reusable toilet paper, and I've been like, get it. This week, that was sick. I want all of those items. Why can I feel like something's going to happen? Is there something moving behind me? You tell me if something's moving behind me. What the hell? Well, that was weird. Anyway, back to recording a podcast. There's a ghost that lives here. I was just saying this week. Remember when Spurs fans were bringing like their kids onto the pitch after like six games? When's this? Match day six. Like, it was almost like, oh, you're going so early. It's one thing to go early like Arsenal did a bit last year, but six games in, learn from Arsenal's mistake last year. It's just, it's not cool. It's a marathon, not a sprint. This is football. It's a marathon, not a sprint. It's the same thing that I've been talking to like my mates about Fantasy League. Fantasy Premier League, okay, great. You had a great week. You had a great start. The thing about Fantasy Premier League is it's a marathon, not a sprint, which means anything can happen and you've got to have that longevity. You've got to keep going because it's so easy to be either doing really well and take your foot off the gas and then not pay attention, or to get disheartened because you're not doing very well and give up and then you're even further behind. If you stick at it, you know, it's every now and then you will have a nice little performance from one of your triple captains or your captains or something that you do, and that'll put you right back in the running. And people who get like 100 points ahead and then start celebrating too early, you're like a Spurs fan or a Spurs player that's bringing your kids onto the pitch. Don't go too early. It's Fantasy Premier League. It is a marathon, not a sprint. Right, guys, that was TikTok submissions. Thank you once again for all of your submissions. Really enjoyed them this week. We had a few football ones, which is always a plus. Right, we're going to go around Europe. This is the part of the show where I tell you a little bit about everything that has happened in all of Europe's top five leagues. Obviously, you've seen the Premier League, so let's do the top four. Okay, in Spain, Jude Bellingham scored again. However, it was not enough to keep Real Madrid top. They drew away at Betis, giving Girona the chance to go 2 points clear if they beat Barcelona, which they did. A goal from Christian Stuani. If you have heard that name before, there is a reason. He used to play for Middlesbrough. He's now in Girona. He's scoring for Girona. That was his fifth in the last three games, and it was enough to get the 3 points away at Barcelona. Massive, massive achievement for Girona this early on, granted. But they are top of the league, and they're top of the league by 2 points. beating Barcelona and ahead of Real Madrid. Amazing. We would love to see them win the league. Yes, but yeah, Stuani played for Middlesbrough, 37 years old now, by the way, and he's probably never been at a better point in his career. Scored loads of goals for Girona previously, I think in the Spanish Segunda. Obviously promoted Girona recently and now they're top of the league. I mean, that is football manager stuff. Nothing much else of note in La Liga. Almeria lost again. They remain winless. One of Europe's only, I think, winless sides. They might be the only winless side in Europe, I think. In Germany, I guess we better start with the headline. That is Bayern beaten 5-1 away at Frankfurt. Leverkusen's draw away at Stuttgart continued their unbeaten run, but that extended their lead over Bayern by 4 points. Bayern with a game in hand, but massive, massive result for Frankfurt to beat Bayern and to beat them 5-1. Nobody's calling that amazing. But yes, yeah, Stuttgart are third. They're just behind Bayern. Leverkusen, still unbeaten, are top by 4 points. Dortmund beaten at home in the other massive game in the Bundesliga. They lost to Leipzig. That's their battle of the top four. I think it's now 4 points Leipzig have over Dortmund after that win. Going to be really interesting, really tight. Dortmund, a really solid team, but obviously didn't help this week that Mats Hummels was sent off early, always at a disadvantage. But yeah, the Bundesliga is dead interesting. I think it's made a change. This one of the only weeks that I can remember that neither Guirassy or Kane or Openda has scored. None of them got on the score sheet. I don't even think Jonas Vind got on the score sheet either. But nearly choked on my own breath. But yes, yeah, crazy. There's a lot of goal scorers that didn't score this week. And talking of goal scorers that didn't score, who always score, there was no goal for Kylian Mbappe in France. PSG with the win over Nantes. Their lead still 4 points. Nice actually did win, but they conceded. They conceded only their sixth goal of the season, which is still an astonishing stat. But yeah, PSG, 4 points. They seem to be just grinding out results, even if Mbappe doesn't score. It was Bradley Barcola's turn this week. Had a bit of a shocker previous weeks against Newcastle when he came on. But yeah, Barcola's goal wasn't the winner. Kolo Muani did get the winner for PSG and they remain top. Bloody fucking hell, Lyon won. And I think if you've followed us from the start, you know that Lyon are maybe the worst team in Europe. They won a game and they won it 3-0 against Toulouse. Only their second win of the season. They're now touching distance with the rest of the fighting pack. The team's trying to avoid relegation. They're 3 points behind. They're still bottom of the league, but Lyon might have a chance. Winning 3-0 out of the blue after they've just, I mean, they got beat pretty much every game of the season. They only won once. But you never know, they might beat the drop after that, Lyon. Something's happened. In Italy, Inter stay top. They beat Udinese 4-0. Goal from Lautaro Martinez. He remains the top goal scorer in that division. Only 2 points ahead of Juve. I mentioned earlier in the show, Juve edged past Napoli. It was the Gatti goal. That was his back-to-back winner that gave Juve the 3 points. Milan were beaten away. They lost to Atalanta. Atalanta on the off the back of a really poor result last week. But yeah, they needed a performance and they gave it. It was an unbelievable goal that won that game. If you haven't seen it already, go ahead and look up Luis Muriel's winner with his back heel. Last minute goal to beat Milan. Fantastic. A crazy game in Rome. Lukaku scored the opener as Roma drew with Fiorentina. And then madness ensued. There was crazy cards, fouls, free kicks. It was non-stop. The referee had a bit of a tough night, but Lukaku got sent off. There was a red card as well for Zalewski, and there was about 5 or 6 other yellow cards in the period of probably about 30 minutes in that game. It was nuts. Roma down to 9 men. Fiorentina trying to get a goal. As soon as that first red card happened, Fiorentina did equalise. It finished 1-1. Mourinho doing his old tactics on the touchline. Actually didn't get sent off, surprisingly, but he was passing notes to the goalkeeper, using the ball boys. It was fantastic. Great, great game. Great drama, as always, in the Serie A. A special mention this week, by the way, to Joshua Zirkzee, a player that you might have remembered came through at Bayern. really promising talent, really young, thrown into that first team at Bayern and really struggled. He then went on loan. He had a really successful spell at Anderlecht in Belgium, and now he seems to be like finding his feet at the top level of football. He got a brace this week. It's 7 goals for Josh Zirkzee as they beat Salernitana, plays for Bologna now. But yeah, 22 years old, seems like he's finding his feet, and it looks like a really, really promising talent. But yeah, it's great when you see a player who's not really hit it off. Harry Kane did it at the start of his career, didn't really hit the ground running, and then finally gets a chance and then just takes it with both hands. And Xerxes doing that at the moment. 4 goals in 4 games for Xerxes as well. Right, let's go everywhere else. Some of the other leagues. Ajax won. This is a crazy week. Lyon won and Ajax won. All we needed was a Man United win and we would have had the treble of the 3 worst teams all winning. But yeah, Ajax won. They're up to 5th now after starting the season so badly. Don't know what's happened. They might push for a top 4 place. I think they've got a good chance. That, you know, a lot of the teams around them aren't really pulling up trees. The team that is pulling up trees is PSV. They are 52 goals scored, 6 goals conceded. They are top by a distance, 10 points to be exact, ahead of Feyenoord. But that record is magic. Nobody's talking about it. Nobody really talks about the Eredivisie. But yeah, unbelievable. And talking of unbelievable, there is a striker that we have spoke about all year. His name is Santiago Jimenez. He is the young Mexican striker and he has bagged again, making it 18 in 15 games for him. There is also another striker who's competing with him called Vangelis Pavlidis, the Greek striker. He's also on 18 in 15. A crazy title race in Portugal. We spoke about it last week. We spoke about it for quite a few weeks. And Portuguese league seems to be like the league where the best football is going to be played throughout the season, the most drama, because we had Sporting, Porto, Benfica, and then Braga had just started creeping up and it was like 4 points. Well, that gap between first place and fourth place is now 2 points. Sporting lost, Porto, I think, won, Braga won, and then Benfica drew. But it means there's 2 points between top and fourth. That's first place Sporting and fourth place Braga. Honestly, your money could go anywhere. Who wins that? The big, big plus for Braga is that they have got a striker who is banging goals in. I mentioned him last week, Simon Banza. He is from the Democratic Republic of Congo. He grabbed a brace this week, making it 13 goals in 13 games. He seems to be the only striker in that division who's really kind of hitting those numbers. Gyökeres is having a good shout at it. He's on 9 goals, but Simon Banza up and above. He seems like, you know, this season, if you're going to win that division, you need a striker, and Gyökeres or Banza might be the difference. So yeah, unbelievable title race. If you're not paying attention to it already, go ahead, keep an eye on it, because this is going to be some battle. 2 points between the top 4. It's absolutely class. Right, okay, let's cap the show off. Let's do some answers. 2 lies and a truth answer. We gave you 3 stories. 3 stories that were crazy in the world of football. They were all to do with names. 2 of them were lies. 1 of them is true. I'm going to recap on those. First story was a player called Johnny Mustache once played an international game for the Seychelles. Story number 2, a player called Florian Seamonkey was capped for France under-19s. Or was it story number 3, Djibouti national team had a goalkeeper back in 1996 named Colin Anteater. Which one was true? Did you get it? It was story number 1, Johnny Mustache played for the Seychelles. Real player, once capped for the Seychelles. Magic name. Finally, guys, I'm just going to do a little call to action. We have really struggled this week because of another TikTok strike. We are that close to losing our account altogether. I posted a video Sunday evening. It started to go viral. And what I mean by viral, it was like on 8,500 likes inside like a couple of hours. It was building. And then TikTok struck us with a community guidelines violation because apparently it was intellectual property theft. The Premier League saw the video and decided that they wanted to get their hands on it, so it was removed. We're that close from losing our TikTok account. So if you can help us, follow us, Subscribe to us on YouTube because we're usually pretty safe. I mean, they hate us too. But go ahead and listen to the podcast or subscribe on Spotify or Apple or anything. Any support really, really helps us. On Instagram, we're Goalpost TV. On TikTok, we're Goalpost TV. On YouTube, we are Goalpost TV. Nearly threw up in my mouth. Please go and follow us. Send us a like. It really helps us. Massively helps us. This week, I'm going to leave you with something a little bit different. Here it is. I haven't figured out what it is, but it's going to be class. Stay for it. Here it is.
Oh, I'm so worried about women's football. It's untrue.
This is kind of a secret that's not being said because everyone is kind of worshipping at the ground of the lionesses.
I think people are scared of talking about sustainable business practice, and they use the men's game as a reference point, as a benchmark. And if player X can earn £300,000 a week, it's only right that a female footballer can also earn £300,000 a week. We forget that some of these women teams don't turn over 300,000 a year. And for all the brilliance of the Lionesses, for all the additional branding, the advertising, the commercial development of the game, for all the revenue that's going in, and there is increasing revenue going in, a lot of that is coming from partner clubs, which we tend to forget about because we can offset it against COVID losses. The amount of expenditure is really, really concerning. And I would never stop people from earning a good wage from what they want to do. But we've really got to stop this reference point of the men's game, because if they continue to use it, the women's game will be over before it's even started. It will be bankrupt. Cherish these days before it's too late. If you could turn around yourself. 1-0, Will Grigg, on the text, come on!